Hour number two, Robbie and Rexrode here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexrode, Michelle Knezvik, intern Hanley here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We have Corey Curtis from News 2 coming up at 8 o'clock. Looking forward to his thoughts on the Titans and how training camp has gone thus far. The first day of pads for the Titans coming up later today in training camp. So looking forward to that as well, especially when it comes to the offensive and defensive lines. Joe, before we continue the discussion on the Titans, just really quickly, it sounds like we could hear something on the Deshaun Watson situation today. The NFLPA putting out a statement last night that basically they were talking about the NFL hoping that they wouldn't appeal the process that takes place. And the disciplinary ruling is expected by 8 o'clock this morning. So maybe sometime in the next hour we could know what the future, the immediate future looks like for Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, and that statement, I think Josina Anderson's been out front on a lot of this stuff, but that statement, in tandem with a lot of buzz about, you know, about a half season or less suspension, that statement seems to me like we're going to be happy with this, so don't appeal it.
Right.
Which, like, for me, I think it's disappointing if that's what it is, but I guess creepy sexual predator dude will probably be on the field this fall at some point.
Looks like at some point that could happen, but we'll keep you up to date on that. Again, a decision in the disciplinary ruling for Deshaun Watson expected by about 8 o'clock this morning, so we'll see what happens on that front. So, Joe, I'm going to throw this question out, and I'm interested to see what Titans fans think about this. Do you still believe this team is in the window to win, the window to compete for a Super Bowl? You flash back to last year, that's all we were talking about with Julio coming in and the offensive pieces. Could this team challenge Kansas City in the AFC? Could they win a Super Bowl? Now, obviously, nobody saw Cincinnati coming out of nowhere last year and not only beating the Titans in the playoffs, but representing the AFC in the Super Bowl as well. But you've had a lot of change. A.J. Brown's gone. You've made some defensive additions over the course of the past calendar year. You feel great about your defense. Still some question marks on offense heading into the year. And I want to know, do Titans fans believe that this team can still compete and win a Super Bowl? Or did the way things ended last year, specifically with Ryan Tannehill, derail that? Because I am sensing a lot of excitement right now, and I think that's natural, Joe. It's August. Football season is here, and training camp is here, and hope springs eternal every time training camp rolls around. You know, but we talked about it all offseason. That Cincinnati loss stung, and it's still with some Titans fans. And I do wonder, do Titans fans as a whole, do they believe that this team is still good enough to win? Because if you look around the league, the sports books would tell you no. Most experts are predicting the Colts to win the division. They'll tell you no. Like, I think the outward view is the Titans are not a contender this year, and I wonder if Titans fans themselves agree with that heading into this year.
Well, first of all, this is the absolute, like you said, Robbie, this is the absolute time when all things are possible and wonderful. And you look at that team out there. I mean, it's a good football team. So it's a good football team. It's also an AFC that we've talked about a lot, has a lot of teams that have a better quarterback than this team has. You don't need to beat them all. You know, you need to get into the playoffs, and then you need to come up with your best performances, you know, and play your best. I mean, I think it's hard because the last two playoff performances at home, one thing or another, or several things, just didn't perform up to what you would expect in the playoffs. And obviously, coming off that great run in 19, you know, just very disappointing performances. Obviously, the quarterback, most importantly, in the last one. But you know, the window conversation is interesting. I think a lot of people, and I thought this, you know, I thought this as soon as the game ended. I think you look at like John Robinson's reaction to Indy, right? It was like, man, you can't blow chances like that. Yeah. You just can't blow that chance. You can't blow the chance to win two games at home to get to a Super Bowl. It's just most years you're going to have to win three. Most years you're going to have to win at least one on the road. And again, the AFC it's just an imbalanced NFL right now, in my view. The AFC is much better than the NFC. So I can't sit here and tell you the window's closed. If you can get into the tournament, go back through all the years. There's plenty of examples of, you know, it's a one game thing. Plenty of examples of upsets, but also of runs from teams that weren't expected to do it. I think that if the window is open right now, it's that defense holding it open, and it's 22 blowing through it right now. As I watch that guy, and I have no idea if and when the next injury is coming, and I know what that probably means if and when it does. But until it does, dude, no one wants to tackle that dude this year. He is as ready as you can possibly be to have another huge year running the football, and I think that gives this team a chance.
Well, and I bring it up because, you know, there is the Derrick Henry part of this, but there's also the defense. Like, I think on paper, and we'll see how it plays out, but on paper, this has a chance, I think, to be by far the best defense that they've had in this run that we're talking about. So going back to 19, ever since Tannehill took over, like, this has a chance, if Caleb Farley continues to progress, you know, if Bud Dupree's healthy and ready to go, you get similar seasons like you got out of Harold Landry to Nico Autry and Jeffrey Simmons as well. Like, this has a chance to be a pretty special defense. So, you know, I said after the playoff game, you know, the Monday we came on after that Cincinnati game last year, I said that felt like the missed opportunity for the Titans. Like, it felt like that was it, and you missed your chance, and that was what it was going to be. And if it boiled down to it, I still feel that way, just because getting to a Super Bowl is so difficult. I don't know that they're ever going to get a better shot than they just had a year ago. But the defense is the thing that has me looking around and saying, I know it's an offensive league. I know they're playing against a lot of quarterbacks. You know, I can't even remember where I saw it, and I need to go find it during the break. But somebody came out the other day with, like, the schedule. I think it was Sando. He came out with the schedule breakdown based on the quarterbacks that you have to go up against. And the Titans have the second hardest schedule in the league based on that formula. I think Kansas City is at number one. So it's a tough schedule with the quarterbacks that you're playing against this year. But I still think if Derrick Henry can stay healthy and this defense approaches what I think it could be, they're going to be right there, and they're going to give himself a chance to make the playoffs. So, you know, does that mean that the window is fully open? No, but you got a chance, I think, this year if you're the Titans. And I do wonder, based on the way things have ended in the playoffs the last couple of years, and quite frankly, based on who the quarterback is, if Titans fans actually believe that heading into this year.
Yeah. Well, I think you hit it. I mean, the defense, if the defense is going to be special, that still happens. I mean, it still can happen in this league that that a team with a great defense and so-so quarterbacking can make a run. I know it's a lot less frequent than it used to be, but it's possible. I mean, you even look at, you know, look at the Niners a couple of years ago. That was, you know, Jimmy G played well that year, but he wasn't great. He's never been great. He never will be great. He's a good quarterback. He's about the same quality as Ryan Tannehill. So, there are plenty of examples of teams that at least got to the Super Bowl with, I would say, quarterbacks who were absolutely worse in their time period than Ryan Tannehill is right now, if he plays his best. So you have to keep that in mind. But, yeah, the defense is – that's the thing. And if Caleb Farley is – and this is where it's like just tread carefully because it's 4 days in shorts.
Right.
Okay. But he's healthy. There's no brace on his knee either. I said it on day one, nothing has changed for me day after day after day. It looks like he knows what he's doing. He's gotten bigger and stronger in a good way. He's fast. He's fluid. And the length is – he is the – I've never seen a corner here in seven seasons of covering this team that can match, you know, the physical attributes he has. So if that spot is answered in an ideal way, you look at this defense and, yeah, it's got a chance to be ridiculous. So it would have to be ridiculous or more you know, I think to give this team enough to get there, but maybe it will be.
Well, it's interesting because offensively, and we'll continue this discussion here in a minute, but we've always talked about the path to the Super Bowl the last couple of years with the Titans, and we've really never said it's through Tannehill. We've talked about Derrick Henry, and can an offense around Derrick Henry take you to a Super Bowl? Now, that doesn't mean that Tannehill's not important. Obviously, he is. He's got to play well, and more than anything else, he can't just absolutely kill you like he did in that Cincinnati game. But it's been a different path and a different approach from the Titans in order to try to get there than most teams that we see get to the Super Bowl. So to me, that question really hasn't changed this year. Like Derrick Henry, if he's healthy, is going to be a heavy, heavy emphasis with this offense. And can a team that wants to play that way with the defense now that's added to it, can that be enough to get you to a Super Bowl? I don't know what the answer to that question is, but that fundamental question still remains the same to me heading into this year based on the way I think the Titans are going to want to play. Obviously, it's going to require, in addition to that, better play out of your quarterback and Ryan Tannehill.
Right. That's the thing. Even if the defense is, best case scenario and Derrick Henry's best case scenario, okay, if both those things happen, well, this is a very good team. And maybe my early choice of the Colts to win the AFC South is a bad one too, by the way. But you're still going to need Tannehill in those playoff games to make huge. He may, they may be able to win a game with Tannehill going like 14 for 21 for 190 yards and a touchdown. But within that, he's going to have to make some huge pressure throws,
yep,
not throw it to the other team, do obviously much better than he did last time out. But the thing is with that, and this goes back to this, it's revisionist history going back on those two playoff wins that Tannehill was just a passenger. He wasn't. He had to make big pressure throws in both of those wins at New England and Baltimore. So at least he has done that. It's just that, of course, it's three straight games now. I guess, well, not game, but I guess five straight halves where he just didn't give you enough. Second half of Kansas City in the AFC title game and then the last two games. He's still – they're not going to – the window, although the other things are a bigger part, the way this team is constructed, you're still going to be dependent on your quarterback to make those plays at times.
So we throw that question out to Titans fans. Do you believe this team is still in the window to win and compete for a Super Bowl? Hit us up, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll continue that discussion next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Throwing the question out there to Titans fans, do you still believe this team is in the window to win? Can they compete for a Super Bowl this year? Hit up our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Bo in Murfreesboro texting in says, I think most believe they're talented defensively. There's a lot of questions on our offense with Tannehill and Burks, and I think their schedule might get them and keep them out of the playoffs, especially as good as the AFC West is. Joe, I will say, this is not a great year for the schedule to line up with you playing in the AFC West. Not a great year for it.
No, you wouldn't think so. You wouldn't think so.
Now, having said that, we said the same thing last year about the NFC West, and they went 3-1 against those teams.
Yes, that's the thing. It's almost like, no, actually, you want the schedule to look as tough as possible. They win those games. It's the Jets and the Texans that you worry about. But, the Raiders and Broncos both come to Nashville. Devontae Adams, Russell Wilson, then, of course, the Titans have a prime time at Kansas City and late season at LA, a place they played extremely well. Stadium they played extremely well and thought they were going to play in again. get to see the other LA team this year, but it's tough. And like you said, Sando broke it down by quarterback, you know, facing the tiers of the top tiers of quarterbacks. Titans have faced just about all of the big boys this year, with of course Aaron Rodgers and Lambeau late season. We know how that went a couple years ago.
Yeah, and you've got Herbert late in the year, Burrow, who I would assume will be over his appendectomy by that point, will be on the field throwing the football. So, I mean, there's a lot that you're going to have to go up against this year if you're that defense. Liam on the text line says, I'm of two minds here. Even with all the excitement of a new season, I still have this low-level dread hanging and hovering in the back of my mind. I'm not sure I can handle another collapse in the playoffs. This is coming from Liam on the text line.
Enjoy the ride, Liam. Enjoy the ride.
I think it does remind me for a lot of people there, though.
Yeah, I do. I will say, I mean, last year they got the one seed. There was obviously, understandably, a lot of talk about those two previous one seed failures. And you know, my whole thing was, guys, it was totally different people. It's only two. It's not like this has happened five, six times. It's happened twice. You're going to beat the Bengals, and that you get rid of that history and you move on. And then, of course, we saw what happened. And I know that the first of those losses was like everything went wrong that could possibly go wrong. They were so much better than the Ravens, right? And they blew it, and they had like 450 yards to 90 or whatever it was. But that was, I will say, that one seed thing. Maybe avoid the one seed this year.
Can you imagine whenever the time comes where the Titans are the number one seed again, whether that's this year or 15 years from now, what the conversation around here is going to be like the next time they get the number one seed? I'm here for it.
Yeah. But you know what? You keep taking swings. You keep taking swings. At some point, it's going to be a different outcome. It's different people every time. There are no jinxes. You want to just keep getting up to the plate, man. I hear what you're saying with the dread, but right now you got training camp. So enjoy what is a good football team.
Ron,
where's my sunshine for you?
On the text line says, I still believe they're in their window to win a Super Bowl. If the defense plays like they did toward the end of last season and give the offense some time to get through with minimum injuries, I think we can make a run. Plus Derrick Henry back to himself. Yes, it's coming from Ron on the text line. I do wonder, like, and a part of this that we haven't talked about yet is the offensive line. And we're going to start to figure out what that looks like today as the pads go on in Titans training camp. But Aaron Brewer, let's say, you know, he's competing for left guard, which, by the way, we'll have a great interview with Aaron Brewer coming up later in the show today at 9:30. Dylan Radins at right tackle, Nicholas Petit-Frere at right tackle. Like, what does the offensive line settle into as camp goes along here? And as they get through the season, number one, can you stay healthy? And number two, can they continue to get better as the season goes along? If they can, then maybe this offense has a chance to be pretty good. If not, then Tannehill's going to be running for his life again, and we saw what the result of that looked like last year.
Yeah, and that's one of those that's just so difficult. There's a lot of things that we're seeing right now that look good that you'll get a little bit better feel maybe with some guys in preseason games. Like, I don't know how much a Farley, if at all, will play in the preseason games. I still think Burks would make sense in preseason games, but certainly when those practices come with other teams, Farley, Burks, those things, but the offensive line in particular, I have no idea right now, you know, and I have no idea if there's going to be competitions. I would say of the two spots, by the way, what was my offensive? Was my offensive line Lawan, Brewer, Jones, Davis, Radins? I think it was.
That was what it was?
Yeah, feeling pretty good, but it's early, and I still think of those two open spots, the right tackle, I don't know. Petit-Frere, rookie, if you're the Titans, you hope that he just takes some big jumps here, not just in camp, but even as the season goes on. I could see that becoming a thing at some point in the season. Like I said, I think Radins is improved. I think he's done all the things, like physically, that he can do to get ready. It's going to be really interesting to see if he can be consistent. I mean, can he be – like, you got to be at least as good as you were last year with Quesenberry at right tackle. That's not like a way high bar, but, like, you can't go backward there. And then it's interesting, the discussion around Brewer. Like you said, we have a really good interview with him. I was in there with a few other people, and he was great. And what LaJuan told us Friday is he talked about how they have similar skill sets and their athleticism together, you know, can really work well. Now, we know what LaJuan and Saffold did together, a sun-blotting left guard who could move and just crushing run blocker. But Aaron Brewer certainly can move. I mean, he's quick. He's athletic as heck. That's his strength. Can he stand in there against 330-pound monsters on the D-line? That's a big question.
Megan on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, before last week, I would have said no, but I actually have some optimism. I still think last year was, quote, the year, end quote, but it's nice to feel some hope. Casey on the text line says, I think they're absolutely still in the window. Great defense that's going to fly under the radar. Excellent run game, solid passing game, although there are a couple of question marks. Offensive line is my only concern. If they come together, they'll win the South. I feel Tannehill is good enough. It should not lose it for us this year. Henry will carry the load. Also, everyone forgets who our coach is. Vrabel will have them ready for every game. This is from Casey on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com.
Yeah, there's a few responses on there to that effect, you know, the coaching aspect of this. And you know, look, reigning coach of the year. Seventh most likely to be fired per Vegas or be on the hot seat or whatever the heck it is. But reigning coach
still
of the year.
Unbelievable.
And, yeah. Look, it's been very good overall with Vrabel as coach. And no, I do think that like they've got the overall feel also is good. I mean, it's professional. They've got a culture. Yeah. That is established, and they added again, like Robert Woods. That's a great addition, not just as a player, but great addition to the building. You know, Caleb Farley is a guy who, I mean, you saw his enthusiasm on draft night, right?
Oh yeah,
just weren't sure if we were going to see on the field, and now you're starting to see it on the field, and he brings some juice to this team.
Alex from Montreal texting in says, am I the only one that thinks this team will be better than last year's injury-riddled team? Look, I don't know if I agree with Alex that it's going to be better, but I will say this. That's one thing we've probably not talked about enough. They had so many injuries last year. It's, to me, a similar conversation that we had with the pass rush last year. Like, there's no way they're going to have as many injuries this year. No way, I wouldn't think. If they do, then I guess we'll get back to talking about strength coaches again.
Yeah. Well, and Vrabel talked last week about, you know, it's clearly they have, like, last year he had a pretty good, which I totally agreed with. Like, I mean, you guys were questioning the trainers, you know, like, come on. Like, but you still, like, you need to look at everything you do, right? And just ask the question, like, is there something we could do to be more preventative? Is there anything we did wrong? Can we change something? And they've obviously explored that. But yeah, even without that, like you said, like you're just naturally going to not have that many injuries. As far as them being better, it's just, even right now, we think we know this and that about the team. Remember, a year ago, to me, the story was this is the most anticipated season since they were in their heyday under, you know, with Steve McNair, Eddie George. And we thought the offense was like, how the heck do you deal with the offense? Then we saw what happened. Injuries, a big part of that, but also performance and some disappointments. And then the defense, which we just weren't sure would be decent, was way better than that. So, look, maybe this offense this year with a new passing game coordinator and, you know, with some of these new pieces on the offense, catching passes from Tannehill is going to be a lot better than we think. Maybe the defense is not going to – maybe the defense is more like what Warren Sharp's roundtable thinks. Like, it's – I don't know.
Very well could be. We'll continue the discussion on the Titans. Got more of your thoughts to get to coming up next. Do you believe this Titans team is still in the window to win? We'll get to that, and we'll also get to some breaking news on the Deshaun Watson front as well. The suspension has been announced. We'll get Joe's reaction to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic, intern Hanley here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. I've got some tickets to give away, a pair of tickets to see 3ICE, North America's premier 3-on-3 ice hockey league, which will be coming up at Bridgestone Arena this Saturday, August the 6th. Be caller number 5, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Caller number 5 will win a pair of tickets to 3ICE coming up at Bridgestone Arena on Saturday, August 6th, 615-737-1025. So, Joe Rexroad, we mentioned to begin this hour that we expected some news on Deshaun Watson at some point here in the next hour, and that news has now come out. It is a 6-game suspension for Deshaun Watson. So, Sue L. Robinson, the independent arbiter in this case, has come out, and that is her ruling. 6 games is the number for Deshaun Watson. So, kind of reading the tea leaves, and I thought you laid it out pretty well earlier. The NFLPA comes out last night basically calling on the NFL not to appeal the suspension whenever it was announced, and calling that or saying that they would do the same thing. Keeping in mind, the NFL originally asked for, I believe it, a suspension of at least a year for Deshaun Watson, and the NFLPA, as Jeff Darlington pointed out, wanted no suspension at all. So this is not even really a, hey, we'll just go right down the middle with this. It's 6 games for Deshaun Watson. What do you make of that number and this decision of a 6-game suspension for Deshaun Watson?
Well, I think it should have been a season. I'll be interested to see. I don't know if Sue L. Robinson will or has delivered any explanation on the thinking here. These things are obviously very arbitrary. I mean, the whole thing is gross. And really troubling and really psychotic. If you go again, take away the innocent to proving it, take away charges, look at the behavior. It's gross. But how does that translate into discipline? I mean, right. It was always going to be like, you can argue both sides of that. I just think it should have been a whole season. And it's interesting that I do see that part of the rule is that he can only have massages from, team massage therapists. So that's part of the, which is, again, just hammers home how gross this whole thing is.
But he's also not being fined in this either.
Yeah, it's a little bit surprising. But it's, I am surprised, but yeah, like, look, as soon as you saw yesterday, sure hope the NFL doesn't, let's all agree with this one, okay, in advance. Like, oh, so it's going to be pretty light. So I'll be interested to see if there's an explanation on it. You can argue both sides. I have a hard time with the argument of, like, no discipline. So apparently he now is going to debut against the Ravens in October. And there you go. Business as usual at some point.
Well, and Schefter just put this out too. The NFL has 3 days to decide if they want to appeal this or not. So I'm really interested to see what the NFL does here. Do they just leave it alone and just accept the 6-game suspension? Or does Roger Goodell and the NFL decide to appeal this and to try to push for a little bit more in this process? I don't know ultimately if it would end up even happening or not, but I am interested over these next 3 days, will the NFL decide to appeal this with Deshaun Watson?
Well, I think from a perception standpoint, you gave a guy a year for doodling around on a sportsbook app.
Yeah.
So I would say you should be pushing for more. I guess I'll be surprised if the NFL doesn't. Don't know if it'll work, but I would think that the NFL would try to fight this and make it more, considering all that we've learned about this situation.
So the games that Deshaun Watson will miss: the Panthers, the Jets, the Steelers, the Falcons, the Chargers, and the Patriots. So those are the 6 games that Deshaun Watson will be suspended for and is eligible to come back at the moment on October 23rd against the Ravens. So we wondered, with the contract that they gave him and fully guaranteed the whole thing, which is still just amazing to me, would he play at any point this season? And, look, Jacoby Brissett, I guess, is going to be the quarterback for these six games unless they make another move. But I'm looking at the schedule. I mean, the first two are the Panthers and the Jets. And Baker Mayfield aside, Panthers, I don't know if they're going to be very good this year. You got the Jets in week two, the Steelers, Marcus Mariota and the Falcons, the Chargers and the Patriots. Like, it's not inconceivable that the Browns could be 3-3 after all this. 4-2, 2-4.
They
could be in the mix by the time you get Deshaun Watson back.
They could be. This comes out, and I hate to go right to like what it means in football, but I got to say, I mean, I think the Browns have to be considered now a team that could very well be right there in the mix too in the AFC. If they can do that, just be 3-3 at that point. We haven't seen Deshaun Watson play football a long time. The last time I watched him play, he was pretty good. It's really interesting. Like, if you're a Browns fan, you know, like what do Cleveland Browns fans think? I think at some point, they're not going to be on an island as a fan base. A lot of rationalizing and, you know, hey, you know, wasn't charged, whatever. I'm sure Schefter put out some dumb tweet today, you know, from his agent that he'll check with him. Like, is that good? Can I tweet that one out? Okay. All right. Okay. Let me tweet that out about Deshaun. But like right now, how do you feel as a Browns fan? Are you excited? Are you weirded out? Are you grossed out? Can you bring yourself to root for Deshaun Watson? At some point, I think the answer will be largely yes.
Well, yeah, and that's not just a Cleveland Brown thing. That's a really a commentary on sports in general nowadays. But, you know, I have no doubt after this six-game suspension is over with and the first time he goes out there and throws the ball well, look, I have full confidence in him as a quarterback. Like, he's pretty good. So I have no doubt he'll probably be pretty good with the Browns, but I'm under no illusion that, like, Browns fans, by the time, like, week 13 rolls around and they're in a playoff race, are going to be like, I know he just threw for 322 yards, but I just don't know if I can root for this guy. Maybe some people will, but by and large, that's just not how things work, unfortunately.
Yeah. Got a lot of reaction on the text line. Sean says, Watson's situation is pathetic. It's okay to be a waste of life if you can make someone some money.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is also, like, so the Browns fans, you know, they'll be – that conversation and like the Steelers and Ravens fan. I mean, that's another thing too. Like when sports arguments get into, like, this happens in college football all the time. It's like, yeah, but you had a player who did whatever, like, nasty, awful thing. And it becomes like part of like rivalry sports arguments. It's one of the worst, man. One of the worst things going.
I do wonder though, like if you're the NFLPA side of this, which keep in mind, you know, a lot of people are going to go after the NFLPA today. Like, they have to. That's why they're there. Like, they have to defend the player. That's what they're there for.
Yes.
So.
Yes. No question.
That's.
You got to understand that. Yeah. Their defense attorneys work every day, and they are trying to, you know, there are some people who commit murders, and their job is to try to, you know, get them all. I mean, that's how it is.
So. That's how it is. So, and a lot of
unions,
people.
Unions represent union members.
Right. A lot of people are going to go after them today. But I do wonder, like, from their argument point of it, a lot of what came out was, you know, well, what about your owners? Like, what about a guy like Robert Kraft and what he's done? What about Dan Snyder and everything going on with Washington? Like, I do wonder, ultimately, in this decision by Sue L. Robinson, how much that stuff and that argument by the NFLPA really factored into this.
Yeah, no, and it's a very fair things to bring up. And, I mean, with Snyder in particular right now – I mean, you know, there's a big difference between, like, with Kraft and Snyder, right?
Oh, yeah.
Snyder stuff is just horrific. John says, do you think Kraft getting the Hall of Fame and any influence on this? No. Also, as a Browns fan, it's bittersweet. I want to win, but at what cost? Ben says his uncle's a Browns fan, threw away all his memorabilia when they gave Watson that contract. Good for him. You know how it goes. Get a few weeks into the season, and he seems like a nice guy. He's buying the offensive lineman watches, and, man, you know, I mean, it's – over time, it's going to be really interesting, just the discussion around Deshaun Watson, even this season, but beyond that as well.
Well, yeah, and then, you know, there's also the AFC part of this. Like, honestly, Joe, I pretty much counted the Browns out since all this came out because I thought he was going to be suspended for a pretty good while, And look, I think they have a good roster, but if Jacoby Brissett was going to be their quarterback for 14 games or whatever this year, and I was pretty much going to count the Browns out. Like I said, I just rolled off the six games there that he's going to be suspended. To me, it's absolutely conceivable they could be at least 500 by the time he's back in there. And then what sort of a factor are they in, you know, the playoff race in the AFC? I mean, you know, disgust aside from this whole situation, the football implication is, you know, the Browns could be hanging around this year too and being right there in the mix.
Yeah, and if you want to just purely talk football on this and take it local, this to me puts even more of a premium on winning the AFC South. That's the one way you know you're in the tournament. You know, the North and the West in particular are just loaded with playoff quality teams, and a lot of teams, you know, all around this conference that have better quarterbacks than the Titans do. So it may be that winning the AFC South, that the Colts or Titans, one of them won't be in the playoffs because they didn't win the division.
Coming up next, it's time for the Rex Rant, Joe Rex Rhodes Rant of the Day. We'll continue to take your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.
The time is now for the Rex Rant.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
On Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN, 1025 The Game, and the Game Nashville app.
White Sox, White Sox, go, go, White Sox.
Let's go, 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 White Sox. We're with you all the way.
And it is that time of the day, time for the Rex Rant here on Robbie and Rex Road. Joe Rex Road's rant of the day. He joins us now on the way to Tennessee Volunteers practice with a nice Chicago White Sox theme song leading the charge. Joe, I turn things over to you.
Wow, so that song must have come out the last time anyone gave a crap about the White Sox, huh?
About 1925.
I can't wait to give you your gift tomorrow, Joe.
It's going to be a good time.
Is it what Ryan tweeted at me?
It is not.
No, we did not spend $100 on a shirt. Sorry, Joe.
That's $100? Oh my God. I mean that's almost as much of a crime as ketchup on a brat. Goodness. Joe, well, I can't wait. And plus, don't you also have black licorice from your grandma too?
Yeah, so that's the good gift. Oh, and boy. I have Kit Kats for Robbie. I gotta bring all that in.
Oh, what a day.
Wow, what a day it's going to be.
Joe Rexford, I turn it over to you.
Yeah, so this is going to be controversial, okay?
Okay.
I'm going to put that out there right now. This is going to be controversial, and I think I'm probably going to get a lot of backlash for this. But you know what? I don't care, because sometimes you got to speak up right, and I do this today at the expense of potentially, at the risk of making my wife upset, but I'm gonna bring a marriage argument to the table here.
Oh, okay? Now we're getting somewhere.
As I drive to the Vols practice complex to watch practice, I'm driving with my steering wheel exactly as I like it. And, you know, there's a specific way I like it, and I get a feel for it, and I set it there, and this is what I do. And we have an ongoing argument right now because, now, you know, usually I drive one car, Katie drives the other. Lately, a few times I've driven hers, and I have adjusted it so that, you know, I'm comfortable driving, and then I have not adjusted it back to how she likes it. But here's my argument for why I think I'm doing it the right way. Because I don't know exactly what works for her anyway. She doesn't know exactly what works for me. I'm not mad when I get in the car and the seat's way closer and the steering wheel is down. I mean, I push it all the way to the top, and I put my seat way back because I'm 6'3", and I have long legs. I'm not upset when Katie doesn't get it exactly to my specification because she doesn't know exactly what works anyway. I don't think that she should be mad at me for not trying to put it back. Now, granted, she would say, well, no, you just forget and you just don't do it. But I don't think I should because it's going to be wrong anyway, and then she is going to have to adjust it. If she tries to, she says she puts it back for me, I still, when I get in the car, if she's driven it, whether she tries to or not, I still have some adjusting I do. So what's the difference between some adjusting and more adjusting? Either way, I think it's okay for a driver to get into a car and adjust it how he or she likes it, and that's that. You guys tell me who's wrong.
Well, look, I'll tell you this. I am totally a violator of the same rule. I'll put it that way. So I'll drive my wife's car, and, you know, I'm 6'1". I like that seat back a little bit, so I got some leg room down there to drive things. Now, where I will disagree with you is mine has nothing to do with just being talking about adjusting things either slightly or a major adjustment. I just don't move it back, and I don't ever really ever think about it. That's my thing. Like, and she yells at me all the time for not moving it back, but I just never think about it. I just get out of the car, and I walk away, and I do what I'm supposed to do. So I'm with you. Like, I do the same thing, but I have never once thought about, well, it'll just be a slight adjustment for you anyway. I just totally forget and walk out of the car, and I think that's where the genesis of the yelling at me comes from anyway.
Well, look, that's probably true of me too, okay? I mean, really, this is just me rationalizing what I do. But when you think about it, like, you're not going to get it right anyway.
That
so
is true.
Why even try?
Because it's the thought, Joe. It's the thought.
Well, we need to get Michelle's thoughts.
I'm giving
on this.
The women's perspective. Don't get me wrong. I hate when somebody, for instance, when I got in my car this morning after the drive home from Chicago last night, my mirror was all messed up. And I just didn't realize it until I was halfway here. And I was trying to look in my rearview mirror. But I do understand the point of you saying, you know, well, here, if I were to fix or try to adjust it, it's not going to fit anyway. But if maybe you responded to Katie saying, I'm sorry, hon, let me try to do it next time. And maybe, and I'm not saying to lie, I'm just saying maybe fib it a little bit. Because if you don't know the setting, maybe she'll think you even adjusted it anyway.
Ooh.
If it's just the thought and the kindness of it. Because if you tell them, well, I'm not going to get it right anyway, so I'm not going to do it. It's the thought of trying to, Joe.
I hear you. I do. But I'm not, I don't think I'm going to do it.
Joe!
I hear you. I know what you're saying, but you know what? It's just not happening.
Listen, it's the
happen.
Wording, not the action. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, look. I mean, like, I mean, last time, again, like, she got in her car, she's like, once again, you didn't change it back for me. I do it for you. And all I said was, I'm sorry. But then I thought about it, you know.
You know what? I'm not sorry.
Well, but the thing is, I still had to adjust mine. You know, like I feel like I just like it, we're talking about what 3 more seconds, like while the seats goes back or forward a little bit more, like a couple seconds, like get it how you like it and go. I hear you on like the thought, and it's. It's good to be considerate. I'm with you, but if you don't know exactly, like it's not like these have like some number setting where you're like, okay, put it back to this. Now I do think some cars don't they have like an auto thing where you can set it and then you can and it actually will go back to that. I think so.
Yeah, Maddie on the text line says my wife's van has a button for each of us that auto adjust. It's a marriage saver. This is from Maddie on the text line.
No, that's a great thing. So maybe that's what we need to do. Our next cars, you know, find that. But in the meantime, I think that we should just go our own way and do it ourselves. I don't know.
Tyler on the text line.
Katie's listening right now.
Says, Joe is wrong. Don't mess with someone else's car. That's a road game. Liam on the text line says, you're right, Joe, but still wrong. She just wants you to show that you care. by trying.
See?
It's coming from Liam on
the
text line.
You should just buy Katie a new car. There you go, Joe.
Wow. This is getting really expensive for you very quickly, Joe Rexroad.
Maybe next time I'll put it all the way back and like put the seat like leaned way back and stuff and say, see, I changed it. I did something. No, I won't do that. Don't worry.
This has been the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning at 7:45 here on Robbie and Rexroad. Joseph, have fun at Tennessee practice. We'll catch up with you here in just a few minutes.
Yes. After Corey, you guys hit me back, and hopefully I'll give you some play-by-play. And you know whose passes I'll be watching close.
Oh, yeah. Cannot wait to get the Joe Milton update from Rexroad coming up here in just a few minutes. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we will be joined by Corey Curtis from News 2. We'll get his thoughts on the Deshaun Watson suspension by the NFL and the independent arbiter Sue L. Robinson, and get his thoughts on the Titans and what he's seen thus far in training camp as well. You're listening to Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.